No? They're good singers. I can tell by looking at them. Besides, they told me they were. No, no. I mean, they told me they sang sometime every night. Good singing all the way around. And I was singing about, you know, while she was singing that, God has been good to us. Whenever you're like, for instance, brushing your teeth, do you stick your head down under the faucet to get rinse your mouth, get water to rinse, or do you do it with your hand? With your hand? Yeah. That's a better way to do it. Because I lived in some houses, you notice I don't wear a wedding ring. And the reason being is because of the fact I don't want a bunch of people out there trying to ask me if I'm married. I've had three wedding rings, and one of them nearly tore my finger off, and another one I had to cut it off, and another one the rats had took it, the very original one, and they was running across. I mean, buddy, some of them looked like big as possums. But anyhow, I was lived in a house, and that wasn't all of it right there. And I'd brush my teeth, such as it were. I didn't have many, but I brushed what I had. And when it come time, I was always, that's why we grew up. We stick our hand down under there, and I felt some whiskers touching my lips. And it was a roach that long. I thought, you nasty devil. Now, you know, let me tell you, whenever I tell you we grew up poor and we've seen some rough times and rough stuff, that's a little bit of it. That's a little bit. Not much, but that's a little bit of it. Oh, yeah. I learned to start using my hand, you know, and lap water like them boys did. Where was that? Gideon's day and all that business there. It's a privilege to be able to have Brother Benny Page and his family. What a nice family that they have. I thought one of them was missing, but then there he popped up right there. But it's a privilege to have him. He's from South Carolina. And he came down here at the, and by the way, he's in the real estate business. If you do run up on a place that you need somebody and a good realtor, then see Jared and Sarah because we don't want to take. Yeah. But anyhow, the long and short of it was he came down here, felt like the Lord wanted him to try to start a work. Is it Lighthouse Baptist?
Yes, sir.
So he's the founder, he's the proprietor, and he's the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church. They're trying to get started there in Lufkin. I hope you'll remember to pray for him every now and again. And all that business. But I've been feeling like inviting him to come preach tonight. I wanted to hear him. And so, Brother Benny, if you'll come on, turn that button on. Now, don't let these people intimidate you. I mean, some of these folks here, don't let them worry you. They ain't got to get up till 7 o'clock to go to work.
Amen.
God bless you.
All right.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Well, I've already been warned. I asked Miss Sarah, I said, how long, you know, 8 o'clock or 30 minutes or what I do is like, if you preach longer than 8 o'clock, I'm bringing my pillow. So I would have been around here very much sooner than when I came, but the only identity that I had for your church was Sarah. So that makes a lot of sense, though. Everybody agrees with me. I see the shaking of the heads. In all seriousness, once we started talking, and there was a lot of relation there of churches and really talking about the Lord, I felt the Lord just come in on conversations that me and Jared and Sarah, we had, and we started talking about you. I met you for the first time, and don't take it lightly that there's a man of God standing behind a pulpit. I've been to a bunch of churches around here, by the way. Y'all got a special person here. And don't take it lightly. And let me say this, he'll be your friend, I'm sure. I'm sure he'll be hard on some of you. I'm sure that's probably already happened. Huh? But he's your preacher. And there is no office in the world that's greater than the office of a pastor. And I don't say that because I am one, because I ain't been one much, not very long. I hadn't been one. But my preacher is my hero. Now, LeBron James ain't my hero. I'm telling you, Taylor Swift ain't our heroes. It ain't. My preacher is my hero. My hero is my daughter, and my wife is my preacher's wife. Those are your heroes. Those are the heroes that you walk around this life with. Those are the people that God put in your life. Those are the people that's going to make a difference in how you handle this life that we have to live through. Amen. So you ought to thank God for your preacher. And you can pay me later. He set that up. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 16. I get more country, they say, as I preach. So I'm sorry if you don't understand the words that are coming in my mouth. I tell you, I honestly, most of the time, I'm as surprised at what comes out of my mouth as you will be. There ain't no telling. I will say this, that whenever I get a little nervous, I say stupid things. And I am very nervous, so I am so, so sorry for what's fixing to happen. Nah, I'm just kidding. If you would, stand to your feet in honor of God's word. I just want to make sure I'm going to church with similar people. If you love your Bible, say amen. Amen. I love my Bible. Amen. Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 25 is where we'll be. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. I want you to take some notes of some things as we're reading through. It says, we're at midnight. So we're already dark. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That is a good, if you've never asked that question in your life, what a good question to ask. Don't feel like a fool. No, I know some of you were raised in church. And I know that there's some people here that may think you are already saved. Don't be embarrassed by that question. I don't, there was a long time in my life where I knew I was pretty sure that I was saved, but had I been going down in a plane, I probably would have been, Lord, if I'm not saved, Lord, save me. It's a great question to make sure you have right before you leave this earth. Amen. Sorry, got sidetracked. Verse number 31 says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. And thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's all the reading we'll do. We'll skip around and do some more reading in a minute. I'm going to let you be seated. Let's pray. Lord God, help me tonight. Lord God, I know that you've given me a word to preach tonight, Lord. You know what I was going through to come up with what we're preaching tonight, Lord God. And I know that this is for here and for now. I pray that your people would hear your word. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Here, Paul and Silas, I do want to set it up. I wanted to preach earlier in the chapter. I had that one ready to go, honestly, ready to go to preach tonight. And the Lord said, we're not preaching that, we're preaching this. Early in the chapter, we find Paul, he goes and he gets Timothy. We know Luke's with him. And they're confirming churches throughout. And they're going through, and this is where we get our message of the Macedonian call. There's great things happening. The Lord's growing the church. The Lord's growing his people. And he goes through, and Paul and Silas and them, they go to Macedonia. There's a woman by the name of Lydia. She's a seller of purple, and she gets saved in all her house. Great things happening. And then we go and we find Acts. In Acts, we find them. They go to this town, and they're in this town. And it says in verse number 16. Verse number 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. You start doing stuff for the Lord, and those kind of things start happening. Those kind of people start coming around, whether you recognize it or not. They'll be there trying to hinder the Lord's work. That's what happened to Paul and Silas. They're just doing the Lord's work, doing what was right. Then come this lady, the spirit of divination. It was messing with them. And verse number 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, mocking them. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Little side note there, this spirit of divination, this lady come and read what she said. Did not what she said sound exactly like what we would be preaching? It sounded exactly like what Paul had been preaching. Yet she had nothing to do with the Lord. Everything that you hear that may sound like what's coming from the Lord ain't always coming from the Lord. And so it said, verse number 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And that word drew there don't mean a nice way. It means they drug them to the center of town in front of the magistrates, drug them there, and into the marketplace unto the rulers. Verse number 20, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. Neither do observe being Romans. And the multitude rose up together, and the magistrates rent their clothes and commanded to beat them. And went, hey, they were doing the Lord's work. I'm trying to make a point before we get into this. They were doing the Lord's work, and this is happening to them. And they were beaten. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. Let me tell you where we are right here, where Paul and Silas is. Not only had they been beaten, not only had they been put into the prison, but the jailer was so worried about his position and what he was going to do, he went and put him into the inner prison. Where is that place? Well, we know it's midnight, and we know it's inside the gates of a prison, and now we're in the inner prison. The darkest of the darkest place that was on that property, they were right there in that. They were in the darkest place that they could be, the darkest place. And it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And Paul and Silas prayed in the darkest place that they had ever been. And tonight I come to share with you how to handle dark places. How to handle dark places. Listen, God does not want you to get defeated under bad circumstances. No. He's called you to do something. He wants you to do it. Whether it be sing, whether it be help the preacher, whether it be preaching, whatever it may be. Good husband, just a Christian on your job, whatever that is. God's called you to do it. And he doesn't want you to be defeated by dark places. But sometimes we done sang about it. I know at least two of the songs we sang tonight was talking about those storms. Was talking about those bad places. Hey, why do we sing those songs? Because we can relate to those things. We know what it feels like to go through the bad, don't we? Amen. Amen. And it does make sense. I tell you where us as Christians struggle. It's because we think, hey, I could be going through this bad stuff and not be a Christian. That makes sense to not be a Christian and go through bad things. That makes sense to go through those bad times and not be a Christian. But I'm trying to do what's right. And I'm having to go through these dark times. The Lord Jesus did. What better are we? If he went through it, can't we? I talked about it this morning. Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a sacrifice. That's our reasonable service. You want to know how to serve God? Give it all. The best thing you could ever do is that. So tonight, and I got 15 minutes left, Sarah. My goodness. I get worked up, though. Like the Lord blows in here, and all this great singing we done had, huh? I come in here nervous, like as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I'm telling you, that's what I felt like. And I sat right there, and they started singing, preacher. Oh, my. And the Lord started blowing through here. Man, I about embarrassed myself. Every time I come to your church, I almost embarrass myself, just by the way. I'm holding it back over there. And the Lord come by and help me. Thank y'all for that great singing. Dark places. How can we handle dark places? There's some examples that Paul gives us right here on how to handle dark places. Don't you want to know that? Don't you want to know, what do I do when I'm going through these things? What do I do? Paul lays them out for us. We can look at what Paul did, and we can do the same thing. There's three examples that he gives us, just three. See, you're not doing. Now, I got three sub-points for those three, but we'll get through them. Lord, help us tonight. Amen. What did they do? We see right here, like the first thing that I seen here, I didn't even make part of our sermon because I would hope that a Christian would do this first all the time. We ain't got to talk about this one, right? Pray. Don't we go there, right? Pray, Lord, pray, right? Help us. But look what else they did. They went further than just prayer. And they were one and the same when you read that in verse number 25. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Oh, the praying part of that is so easy. Lord God, help me tonight, Lord God. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. But getting up off that altar and singing those songs, huh? Singing praises to the Lord. That ain't what our flesh wants to do. Our flesh don't want to come up off the altar. Amazing grace. Don't want to do that. Our flesh does not want to do that. Paul and Silas, they're telling us, you get in those dark places, there ain't nothing better than you can do than sing praises to the Lord. I think that every once in a while, you need to just have a little fit in your car when you by yourself. Huh? That'd be the greatest thing you ever did. Huh? Going through those dark places, I tell you what, you just tell your family, hey, I'll be right back. I'll run to the store. And you go and you get in that car and you put whatever that CD is. Hopefully it ain't some country music. I don't know, nobody listens to country music. Some of that good gospel music. You throw that in there. And I tell you what, you just park off on the side of the road somewhere and you throw your hands up in the air and you start singing praises to the Lord. It'll change your attitude real quick. You'll forget how dark it is. Hey, when the Lord Jesus comes around, that dark can't stay no more. The light comes in. Oh, it's a light that you can't produce on your own. You got to have the Lord Jesus Christ. That same Lord, hey, we understand as Christians, we ain't going to get nowhere tonight. We, as Christians, we understand. Lord Jesus come by and can save our soul from hell. And yet we struggle to understand that he can get us to feeling better in those dark places. Man, y'all, your people, they run me to death. I'm gonna lose 5 pounds tonight. I hear I'm eating some pizza afterwards, so we'll get it right back. It'll be okay. They were singing Psalm 92. Love it. Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And it really is. And your Bible is thing, T-H-I-N-G. When I say thing, it comes out as thing. I'm sorry. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. In that they're singing, in their singing, I want you to see the attention of their singing. The attention of their singing. It ain't for me to feel good. That singing was not for them. That singing wasn't for them. Look, it says that they were saying praises unto God. Those singing the praises. Why don't I feel good? Yeah, I'm trying to do all that singing. I'm trying to do that. But praise God with that singing. The direction and the attention of their singing was to the Lord. Wasn't trying to make them feel good because that just sounded so great. Singing praises to the Lord. The attention of their singing. We must notice that the song unto the Lord is needful too. We need that. Listen to me. You need that. We're not building churches, by the way, on singing. That ain't what I'm saying. Church built on preaching. The Lord Jesus wasn't a singer. The Lord Jesus was a preacher. But my goodness, singing praises unto God will change your attitude. Your attention to your singing needs to be to the Lord. It's not just something that we can do. It's something that we should do. Amen. Hey, most of these places around, oh my goodness, I need to go to the next point. I'm sorry. Most of these places, yeah. Sit there, you go into these churches, and they call themselves churches, and they love God, and they'll tell you all about God. That you walk in there, and they sitting on their hands. They ain't about to give God glory for nothing in their life. The attention to your prayer, to your singing, to your praising is to God. It's not for you. Huh? Help me, preacher. Sit me down, please, if I say something dumb, all right? The attention of our singing. Not only the attention of our singing, the attitude of our singing. Not only is singing needful, but it's helpful. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. It's helpful. It'll help you. Now I'm moving right along. See, we're doing good now. The attention of our singing, the attitude of our singing, the audience of our singing. Who heard that? Well, God heard. God heard, yeah. God heard it. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the, help me, preacher, the prisoners. Those old boys, he's in the same place as they were. Yet they didn't have the same Savior that they did. And they sat there and watched these old boys. Oh, look at them. Here comes those Jesus freaks. Here comes those Christians. Huh? Look at them. Let's see how they handle that. They'll be cursing God before the night's over with. Huh? And these old boys, they're like, yeah, let's see what happens now. And they're like, somebody struck a tune down there. What's that I hear? Oh, my. I said my old boys down yonder say they serve the Lord Jesus. Listen, do they not know they're in the worst part of the prison? Do they not know what's fixing to happen to them? And they're singing unto the Lord. Had to be striking up some thoughts in their mind. How can they be so happy in what they're going through? Well, folks are watching you. Everybody is white. You don't think so. You don't think they are at your job. You don't think that they are where you work. You don't think that you don't. Your kids are watching you. And they're going to watch how you handle these bad places. Hey, I'm preaching to myself now. Hey, the first thing I want to do is go around complaining about the situation that I'm in. Huh? How bad it is. Oh, mercy me. Huh? Yeah. I tell you what, I've heard stories about in here. And I don't mean it in a jokingly way. There's been some heartache here. There has been. I know. I don't want to even bring up stories because some of the stories I've heard out of this room right here. And I don't want to embarrass you. But let me tell you what. It don't matter how bad it is. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I got to tell the story. Lord, help me. I'm not trying to bring up emotions. I'm not trying to stir emotions, preacher. But I just got to tell this story. Two great friends. I ain't going to make it through the story. Two great friends of mine. Tim and Angie Haney. Oh, love them to death. My goodness. Like, definitely brothers and sisters in Christ. We met them early on. We were young. We was a young couple the first time we ever met. Well, I really got to know Brother Tim and Miss Angie. And we struck a chord with them, me and my wife, to where they just loved us. And they had younger kids. And they said, you know what? Listen, I'm not trying to joke. This is Tim talking to me. I ain't trying to joke. They brought us over to their house and said, listen, if something ever happened to us, we want you to be the godparents. They loved their kids, and they wanted good people in their life. Fast forward. About 12 years later, I was fishing out on my boat, and I get a call and said, Austin died. He done ran his car into a tree. Oh, it was a terrible time. It was like one of my kids died. I'm not trying to bring up feelings. But it changed my life. We buried him that week. And that Sunday morning, Miss Angie Haney was standing in the back of that choir with her hands in the air, praising God. That changed my way of thinking. It's easy to praise the Lord when things are going good. It's easy to praise the Lord when it's going good. Let me help you. This is her testimony. Miss Angie Haney said that was the best thing she ever did. Was gave God glory for where she was and what she was going through. Let me tell you what. There is no dark place that the Lord can't intrude on. He'll help you sing praises unto the Lord. I don't know how much further we're going to get in this. Let's y'all good for one more little point I got right here? Huh? Are we good? First example was there were singing. How to handle dark places. Sing. Not only were they singing, they were still. The first time I ever seen this, I really need a, you got a tissue or something, Mama? No, oh, I see some tissues right here. Oh, come on, preacher. I know them handkerchiefs. Know all about them handkerchiefs. I don't want to do the Bible any injustice about what we're talking about. I'm going to be real clear, but I want you to hear me. Don't turn me off right now, okay? They were still. Let's read verse number 26. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. Are you seeing this? My goodness, what a great feeling. Done been praying and singing, and the doors open. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors were open, and he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. We haven't went anywhere. We're still here. We done sat here. We didn't go anywhere." They weren't still in the sense of complacency. My goodness, how exciting would that have been to have been locked up in the situation they were in that dark place, and had an opportunity to go, yet they sat exactly where they were. I think I know why. Psalm 46 says, "Come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he had made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease, and unto the end of the earth he breaketh the bow. He and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." God is in control of every situation. In this stillness that they were in, they were still. In the dark place, they were still. There's some things to be still and consider. Firstly, consider the open door that's before you. The open doors they considered. I want to bring this to your attention. In Acts chapter number 5, Acts chapter number 12, Peter was locked up in a similar prison. And we know for a fact that it specifically says that God come by and got him out of prison. We know that. I want you to read this with me. It says, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations were shaken, and the doors opened." You know what I don't see in there? And again, I need to preface it with, he probably did and maybe did. All I know is my Bible does not say that God did that. It's quiet. I expected that. Do I believe that God did it? He probably did. He probably did, but my Bible doesn't say that. And what I take from that is this: not every door that opens is God. And not every door that opens is one that you should walk through. Even though that it seems like this is the way out, and it's truthful, they did end up going out of those doors, but not at that time. It was not time to go out those doors. Be still and consider the doors that are open in front of you. You might not need to walk out that door. Be still and consider the open doors. Not only those open doors, consider the ominous deaths. Had they walked out those doors, preacher, that jailer dies. There's doors that are going to be opened in front of you in those bad situations that you're not supposed to go out. And if you do go out the wrong door, somebody might die. There's people that are relying on you to sit there. There's people that are relying on you to go through what you're going through. There's people that need us, preacher, to be sitting there when it's hard and when it's tough. Be still and consider. I know I'm running through these fast. Be still and consider. There's people that are relying on you. Not only the open doors, not only the ominous deaths, but the outline declaration. This is what they need from us. In our dark place, this is what they need from us. I'm still here. I'm right here. If you need anything, I done been in some bad spots. I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here for you. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. I know that you look at me and say, hey, this is a bad situation, but I'm going to stay right here for you. Be still and consider the outline deck. Knowing the custom of the keeper of the prison, Paul knew. So what was the custom of the keeper? If you lose a prisoner, you got to go. You die. He knew. Paul knew. He was very considerate of that. He yelled as loud as he could, don't take your life. We're all still here, right where you need me to be. We didn't go nowhere. How do you react in a bad situation? Are you looking to just run out the first door, the first avenue out of that? Is that what you're looking for? Huh? There's some people that need us to just sit right there. They just need us to be there. Amen. Are we good for one more? The examples that Paul left us on how to handle these dark places. They were singing. They were still. Here we go. Don't shoot the messenger. They were spiritual. They're spiritual. Being spiritual is a term, though, that's been thrown around so loosely you can't even say it much anymore, and it makes sense to people. You say spiritual, and they think, oh, yeah, that's foolish. That's a funny business. We don't want nothing to do with that. But Paul and Silas were spiritual. How are they spiritual? Being spiritual is a term that we throw away. Normally, we tie it to a feeling. I don't feel real spiritual. I say that a lot. I ain't feeling real spiritual right now. It's usually when I'm fixing to cast some judgment on somebody. I ain't feeling real spiritual right now. My goodness. But being spiritual is this. It's an awareness and an understanding. I'm going to say that again. I need you to get that. Being spiritual is not a feeling that you have. It's being aware. It's being aware and understand of what God is doing. And in turn, whatever it is, bind ourselves to that. You know, those stocks fell off too. I didn't even see them stand up. He's like, God's got me right. I'm going to act like these chains are still fastened to me. Whatever God's doing right here, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to act like I'm still locked up. Colossians 1:9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire. This is Paul talking to the Colossians and saying, this is our desire for you. I desire that you might be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When you're in those dark places, listen, stop looking at yourself. Be real spiritual right there. Be real spiritual right there. Lord, what are you doing? If you're going through it, oh my goodness, if you're going through it, that's the time. Lord, what are you doing right here? What are we doing right here? Be spiritual. Spiritual. So why should we always try to be aware of what's going on around us when we're going through those bad places? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because there are certain situations. For situations, you need to be spiritual. Not their own situation, but other situations. They looked past their situation of that dark place and looked at that jailer's situation and said, he's fixing to have it way worse than us. If we don't be spiritual right here, God's doing something. He needs us right now. He needs us right now. Somebody needs us. God's doing something, and he needs us right now. They had every reason and opportunity to be mad at the jailer. He's the one that was keeping them there. He was the one that had bound. It was his decision to put them in the worst spot of that jail. Yet that didn't bother them one bit. It didn't affect them one bit. They said, "We're here. Don't harm yourself. We're here. We understand your situation. Hey, come see us. Come see us." Not only for situations, here we go, for salvations. Why are you in the position you're in? Somebody probably needs to get saved around you. The Lord's probably working on somebody that's right near you. Might be one of the closest people in you. They watching you. They need you to stay right there. They need an ear for you. They need you to be present. They need you to be right there. You might be the only one that can lead them to the Lord. The Lord's probably got you right there for them. They were right. Tell me what else happened in that story other than that jailer getting saved in his house, getting saved. What else happened right there? I don't know. I don't see much else. It was for him. Their situation was for this jailer. There's somebody around you that might need to be saved. And not only for situations, for salvation, for strengthening. They didn't stop there. He went to the house and he said, "I want all my family." Hey, ain't that like a young Christian? They get saved and they're like, "Oh, Papa needs to be saved. My uncle needs to be saved. Hey, everybody needs to be saved. Let's go tell the world," right? And then we let life happen to us and that all ends. We stop thinking like that. Hey, listen to me. I'm done, preacher. I'm done. I'm going to say one more thing. I'm going to let you close this out. I know the Lord's been speaking to you about how to end this. I know. There's no doubt in my mind. I know exactly. I will preach another message to prove to you that I had another message for tonight for this church. I will. I like it. Favorite thing I do is preaching. Somebody in here is going through it. And the Lord wanted, hey, you ought to praise the Lord. The Lord sent an old dumb preacher from South Carolina, 850 miles, to come and tell you what to do in your dark place. You ought to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Thank you, preacher.
All right. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we get ready to dismiss in a moment. Maybe God's tugging at your heart. Maybe God's trying to speak to you and give you some enlightenment. And whatever it is, whatever the need is, the Lord know it. And so we appreciate the good sermon tonight. Appreciate the good message. We hope the Lord will make it real to your heart and your life. Brother Benny, you can make your way back there in front of that sound table. I'll be back there in a moment. Our Father, we want to thank you now for the goodness of God. We thank you, Lord, for the good message tonight that you've given through Brother Benny. I pray your blessings upon him, upon his family, on the church he's trying to start. We pray that, Lord, that you'd bless our congregation. We want to thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl that's been here and that is here, and those that shall come. Lord, we thank you for having saved Caitlin. And, Lord, we thank you for these others that have come to know Christ in days gone by. Now, bless, I pray, the remainder of this service. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with somebody.